Arias shallow at third, the pitch. Ground ball to second. High hop. Panic's got it. And he throws him out at first. And game one goes to the Giants as they hold on for a one-run win over the Nationals. And although Casilla will get credit for the save, and why not, he retired the side in order with just a one-run lead. I think part of that should go to Sergio Romo, who faced all of the big sluggers in a row in that eighth inning.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Boy, great afternoon of spring training baseball here, and no games, but boy, I feel like I'm in mid-season form. Bobby Evans has been on with us, and of course, the great John Miller was with us. Never got to the Bruce Bochy interview, so if you go to KNBR.com, click on schedule, my name, and the Bruce Bochy interview is there. It's really pretty good, and I had a long discussion with him about his health and also about spring training here.
Three, two, and one.
All right. Thank you, Bonte. I got Tim Roy in the background there. All right. The other thing is John Miller was with us for about an hour and a half, and if you go to the same spot, KNBR.com, schedule my name, that interview in its entirety will be there, probably in a couple of sections, just for the space on the internet, but it is there, and I think you're really going to enjoy it. All right, joining us now, he's the newest TV star in the Bay Area. He's now part of CSN Bay Area. He's made the trade. It's Colavito for Keene. It's Cepeda for Sadecki. No, we don't want to talk about that one. But it's Baggerly for Alex Pavlovich. Alex now with CSN Bay Area, the movie star, the TV star, and Andy is back on the beat at the Mercury News. And, Alex, nice to have you here.
Yeah, it's a Sunday, so I guess every Sunday starting today I'll be talking to you, right?
It's great. I love it. Yeah, right after Ron Wotus. You know, you've got your spot in there after Woe. On those
the race to the ballpark.
On the Sunday shows. But it's just nice to have you here, do this, and have John Miller talk about you. And I know you weren't here when he was talking about you, but he's got you basically at CSN Bay Area this year and Hollywood next year. And he's turned you into a movie star, so I want you to know that.
You know, they make those baseball movies every, like, 3 or 4 years. Yeah. And they get beat writers to pretend to be beat writers, right. And they get actual baseball writers. And they had that one with John Hamm a couple years ago, and they chose all national guys, which I thought was unfair. They should mix a couple of us in there. So maybe a year from now or 2 years from now, one of your listeners will make a movie, and I can have a cameo.
And Andy says he's going to give you all his pocket squares.
Yeah, he has offered. Right. I'm not a pocket square guy. But
are you an Ascot guy or anything like that? No.
Sabian told me I should be. But no, I'm not a – I don't even want to wear a tie. So we'll see how that goes.
All right, I love it. It's great to have you here, and you're always a friend of the show. You're a rookie of the year on my show. And after your junior year, now you've gone to the pros. You're now on TV. All right. A lot of funny things happen in spring training. Obviously, you point out to me today, we now have a pitch clock out in center field. What is that going to be all about?
Yeah, we got up here and they were testing it. It's right in straightaway center. It's actually not that bad. It's not that big. I mean, the numbers are red and pretty easy to see, but I didn't think it was terrible. I'm not a fan of the pitch clock idea, but I think what they're doing between innings, trying to shorten that, and that's what that's for now.
Okay,
I think.
So you think that's a between inning?
I think it is. The guy who was installing it said it was for the pitch clock too, but I'm under the impression that we're only going to see it between innings.
Okay.
So I think maybe that's what they're getting them used to. That's not a big deal. I mean, to make sure a guy's out there in, 2.5 minutes or 2 minutes 45 seconds or whatever it is, I don't think that's a big deal. Pitch clock would be a big deal, but Bruce Bochy, who is usually pretty plugged in with these things, said at FanFest that that's not going to happen.
No.
So I'm going to trust him.
No, and David Ortiz said the same thing. And pitchers have said the same thing. You know, you can't have a dramatic moment in the baseball game and the fans counting down 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and the seventh game of a World Series and waiting for a pitch. It's not going to happen.
That I haven't heard that one yet, but, I mean, that's a great reason to not have it.
Yeah.
I think of all the reasons, they'll figure it out. I mean, there are other ways to cut 10 or 20 minutes and not have to have a red clock counting down from 20.
Yeah, just make people hustle, and that's the way to do it. Hey, Lincecum pitched today. You had a chance to talk to Casey McGee. So the fans understand that it's live BP, no screen, starting pitcher out there like they used to do it 50 years ago. And the regulars get to face Lincecum or Kane, Vogelsong, Peavy. I saw him and Bumgarner. So what did how did Lindstrom do today, and what were some of the comments?
Well, this is the time of year when everybody looks good and everybody's sharp,
yes,
and everything's great. So you have to take everything with a grain of salt. But I did walk up to Casey. I wanted to ask him something else, and he had faced Lincecum, and they spent some time together after their session was over, kind of talking about how it went. So I just asked him the throwaway, you know, how did he look to you? And I thought his answer was interesting because he didn't give me the cliche, he looked good. He said he looked like he remembered. He looked like the guy that he saw in 2009, 2010. And to him, it was all about deception. And he said he had trouble picking up the ball coming out of Lincecum's hand. And the reason that stuck out to me was because Timmy's now thrown twice to hitters. And the first time we talked to Brandon Belt, and he said deception too, and that's what he mentioned. So at the very least, the guys he's facing, one's a left-hander, one's a right-hander, having a hard time picking up the ball coming out of his hand, which is a good sign this time of year.
Yeah, I thought even for Pence, when Pence was hitting, I thought I'm lunging at a couple.
Yeah.
And I was sitting up here trying to watch it.
Buster,
so.
Too. I mean, Buster was fouling balls
good.
Off. But, I mean, given what he did to Bumgarner yesterday,
good.
A good sign.
Good segue into Bumgarner and Posey yesterday. That was one of those confrontations. Everyone got excited about it. How did it turn out? And what did the participants say?
That was a ton of fun. I think that's something you can only see in spring training. And really for us, I mean, Buster talked his way into that hitting group. He had never faced Bumgarner before. These two are obviously two of the best in the game at what they do and are close friends and have closed out a World Series together now. But there was a lot of smack talk there, and Buster was a clear winner. You know, I wrote yesterday, Posey Bumgarner won it. It was a knockout. And Buster, if that would have been a game, he probably had a single and two doubles, including one right off the wall where it's just 430 feet. And these guys have fun this time of year, and he was chirping at him a little bit as he was facing him, and the funny part for us was Buster, he's good with us. He's very cordial with the media and gives you what you need, but he doesn't spend a lot of time in the clubhouse because if he does, people are constantly coming up to him and asking him for things. But we got in there yesterday. He practically waved us over. He couldn't wait to talk about facing Bumgarner. And later when Madison walked in, he knew that's what we were waiting for.
What did Bumgarner say?
He tried to pretend like he was trying to keep his catcher happy by throwing him a few. He was shocked because he was throwing Buster fastballs in, and that's what he wanted to do, and a couple of them got lined into left field. So he changed it up. He threw him a curveball, and he didn't think he could hit it. He said it was a good curveball, one of the best he threw this spring, and Buster hit it off the wall. So he was legitimately surprised that Buster was able to do that. But I think, you know, the good thing is the one guy who can do that to him, at least recently, is his own teammate.
Funny. Well, it's part of spring. It's part of the fun of spring. Did you get to see Matt Cain throw today?
I did. I was out there on the backfield.
How'd that go?
I didn't think he was thrown at 100%. I thought it went pretty well. You know, from a health standpoint, obviously everything looks fine. I think he's still maybe getting there physically, just getting his arm up to speed. It's been a while. I mean, it was last July 10th, I think, was the last time he faced hitters. So it'll take a little bit for him to get comfortable out there. I think the main thing is he's healthy, and you can go from there. I mean, we have a month here for him to get ready. So,
any young kids jumped out at you so far? I know, as Bobby Evans said and Brian Sabin says, this is just we haven't had a game yet, you know, so everyone looks good. But anything unusual?
Yeah, and until we have games, it's really hard to tell. The one guy I've seen who is kind of fascinating was Stephen Okert the other day throwing a live BP session, and just a really odd delivery and really deceptive, hides the ball well, and has a good fastball and has good stuff, and he's a left-hander. So, you add it up, and this is a guy who can move quickly. And we've seen it. And one thing these guys talk about, the minor leaguers, they all saw last year that jump from Richmond to San Francisco. It can be a short trip now. We saw it with Duffy and Strickland. And so a lot of these guys who we see here now, I mean, you don't necessarily look at, hey, what are they going to do in Richmond and in Sacramento. It's like, hey, they can go to Richmond, and if they're needed, if Affelt or Lopez, one of those guys, gets hurt at some point, it might be an Okert. It might be somebody who moves quickly. I think we just talk about Bumgarner and Posey kind of talking trash. The first day we were out there, Cain was making fun of Affelt, saying, we got this lefty who's throwing upper 90s, so you better be careful. So they've taken notice of the kind of stuff he has.
I like him. I predict he'll be in the big leagues this year sometime.
I think we might see him at some point, too.
Yeah. All right. Hey, Alex, thank you so much. We'll see you on TV and, of course, on our show, as always.
Yeah.
It's always a pleasure.
It's fun.
as John Miller says, Hollywood is next.
I'm going to go straight to the gym right now, I guess. I got to prepare.
All right. Thanks, Al.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
All right. More coming.